Again, we're going to look together into the Word of God in order to try to discover what God would teach us. We can't go to any better place than the Bible to learn from God. And we can't go to any better place to learn from anybody, because the Bible is the record of the wisdom of God. It comes right from the mouth of God, from the mind of God. And so everything in the Bible is super, super important. Now, when God wrote the Bible, we're learning increasingly that God did not write it so that just anybody could go through it and quickly understand it. In fact, we're going to spend a little time with the name of a person here, and we're going to find out that God indeed did make it a little bit complicated. But we're in the book of Jeremiah, and we're looking, first of all, at the historical record here of what happened back in the nation of Judea, starting with the killing or the death of Josiah, who was the last good king who reigned over Judah of that day. But ultimately, we know the application. The real message is for us today. Fact is, I am finding more and more as I go through the Bible and become better and better acquainted with it, that the Bible really is focused on our day in so many ways. It's really focused on our day, and many, many passages that we have tried to make application to the church age or whatever, in actuality, don't really find their fruition, their ultimate fulfillment, until we apply them to what God is doing today in the world. Well, here we're looking at Jeremiah 22, and we have been going through this chapter, and we have found that this chapter is a little bit unique in that God is as it were, speaking right at the time that the Great Tribulation did begin. In previous chapters, God has really berated Judea and the priests and the princes, and in parallel fashion, he's berating the pastors and the churches and so on because of their lack of faithfulness. Therefore, I have brought my judgment upon you. And the setting of these previous chapters is basically that we're right in the heart of the Great Tribulation. Babylon is already beginning to reign in Jerusalem, or Babylon in the historical context is right at the gates, and they're just about to be destroyed. But when we look at Jeremiah 22, God takes us as if it's a snapshot right at the point where the Great Tribulation began. We look at verse 11. In fact, let's start with verse 10 to pick up the context. Weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. Now, this is we can't understand which direction God is going into until we look at the rest of the verse, because it says, for. That is, he is going to explain why he is saying what he is saying in verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, touching Shalom, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josiah his father, which went forth out of this place, he shall not return thither anymore. Now notice how that he shall not return thither anymore identifies with verse 10, where we read, weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. And so God has really focused our attention on a man by the name of Shalom, who is reigning instead of Josiah. Well, who in the world is Shalom? And because when we go to 2 Chronicles and look at the end of the nation of Judah, We find that the man who was reigning immediately following Josiah was not Shalom, it was Jehoahaz. If we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And yet here in chapter 22, God is using the name Shalom. Now already, of course, we have learned as we have studied the Bible that God not infrequently does have more than one name for a person. For example, later on he's going to talk about Jehoiachin, and also calls him by the name Kaniah. And there are others the father of Moses' wife, for example, had three different names in the Bible. And this is one way in which God made the Bible difficult to read, so that those who want to object to the authority of the Bible think they have ample reason to object. Look at these mistakes, look at these contradictions in the Bible, and it keeps them blind. It's just following the same principle that God used when he spoke to his parables, so that hearing they will not hear, and seeing they will not see, and so on. He keeps people blind. It's only when we recognize, now wait a minute, there are no contradictions in the Bible. There are no mistakes in the original languages. There might be a mistake in the translation, but certainly not in the original Hebrew or the original Greek of the New Testament. And when the true believer sees these apparent contradictions, immediately we say, oh, there's something here that God has hidden, something that's very important. And now we're going to try to ferret it out. We're going to try to find out what it is by carefully comparing Scripture with Scripture. So let's do this with Shalom. And as we look at Shalom, we're going to see some very interesting and very confusing things. We already see this, that he is called Shalom when it actually is Jehoahaz. Well, let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 3, and there we pick up the family of Josiah, the family of Josiah. 1 Chronicles chapter 3, and we find there that we read in verse 15, 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 15, the sons of Josiah, the firstborn, Johanan, the second, Jehoiakim, the third, Zedekiah, and the fourth, Shalom. Well, now, isn't that interesting? It seems to say here that Shalom was the fourthborn. What in the world, how is it possible that he then sits on the throne? Already we have a problem, because the firstborn has to be the next on the throne. But that is a principle that God has established. Normally it was the firstborn, unless God himself set it aside. And you know, Solomon was not the firstborn. He sat on the throne following the death of Solomon, but God particularly pointed out and made Solomon the king, but ordinarily it was the firstborn that was to sit on the throne. Now when we work through the kings, or the sons of Josiah, we find that three of his sons and one grandson actually sat on the throne before the kingdom finally came to an end. First there was Shalom, and obviously we see already his name was Jehoahaz. Then there was Jehoiakim. He immediately sat on the throne after Shalom had reigned for 3 months. Go back again to 2 Chronicles. Let's look at that passage again. chapter 36. Chapter 36, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Then he reigned 3 months, and then look down at verse 5. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign. Now, he was an older brother of Shalom. He was 2 years older. Why wasn't he made king? Why was Shalom made the king instead of Jehoiakim? And then after Jehoiakim had reigned for 11 years, his son Jeconiah or Jehoiachin sat on the throne, and of course he was much younger because he was a grandson of Josiah, and he only reigned for 3 months. And then following that, his brother Zedekiah, in verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 36, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. Well, now, he was 21 years old after his brother Jehoiakim had reigned already for 11 years. So how old was he when Jehoiakim began to reign? He was 10 years of age. Okay, let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 3 and put all these people into place. Here God is telling us about the family of Josiah in verse 15. First of all, there was Johanan. Now, we don't read anything more about Johanan. The likelihood is he was a firstborn who died early in as a child. He doesn't enter again into the biblical record in connection with what we're reading. He was the firstborn, but because he is apparently was not living at the time all of this activity was going on, that at the death of Josiah, that's all that we read about him. Now the second was Jehoiakim. And when Jehoiakim was 25 years old, we know that Shalom was 23 years old, and we know that Zedekiah was 10 years old. You follow that? Because he was 21 when he ascended the throne after his brother Jehoiakim had reigned for 11 years. And yet, when we look at this layout here in verse 15, it says the firstborn was Johanan. Then it says the second Jehoiakim. Now we are assuming it's saying the second born. It doesn't say the second born. It just says the second Jehoiakim, although we know that of the three remaining individuals, Zedekiah and Shalom, or Jehoahaz, he was the elder of the three. And so he, we can understand that the second born then was Jehoiakim. Then he says the third was Zedekiah. But wait a minute, how could he be the third when Shalom was 13 years older than Zedekiah? Do you see that? Do you follow that? In other words, at this point, Zedekiah is 10 years of age, Shalom is 23 years, and yet he's making Shalom the fourth, as if he's the fourth born. Well, now, it's very curious that God does not say he's the fourth born. He just simply says he's the fourth. And so you can't read more into that than what the context will allow. And so we know that it is true that Johanan was the firstborn. We know that Jehoiakim was the secondborn because he was 25 years old at the time that his two brothers were 10 years and 23 years. And we know that Shalom was the thirdborn because he was 23 years old when Jehoiakim was 25. Now that's obvious. So it's very obvious God made a mistake. We finally figured it out. God made an error. How can this be that Shalom was only I was 13 years younger than, or older than Zedekiah, and yet he is called the fourthborn. Well, he's not called the fourthborn. He is called, and neither is Zedekiah called the thirdborn. It is simply saying that that Shalom was the fourth. And we wonder, well, what does that have to do with anything? And we'll develop that in a bit. But already we see a real problem. To complicate the problem, or again to highlight like this fellow Shalom, the word Shalom itself is an interesting word. It is the identical spelling for the word Shalom, which means peace. Peace. It's used throughout the Bible in the Old Testament and translated peace, and therefore it was a common name. But it's curious that when God used this word Shalom as a name, that there he actually shows in the Bible, and we're not going to go through this. You can check your concordance in order to do this. But actually, the Bible shows there were 13 different individuals, 13 different individuals who carried the name of Shalom. Now, isn't that interesting? 13 different ones, not 11, not 19, not 14, 13 individuals. Well, it could be coincidental. Secondly, the word Shalom, the name Shalom, as supplied to one of these individuals, for example, was a king of Israel that reigned some 100 years earlier. His name was Shalom. He's one of the 13. And the other thing is that the name Shalom is found exactly 27 times in the Bible. 27. Well, what else is new? It was found 27. It wasn't 28, it wasn't 22, it was 27. Yes, but 27 is a significant number, because what is it? It's 3 times 3 times 3. In other words, it really is underscoring a spiritual principle that somehow Shalom is the purpose of God at this time to reign. God has some very particular information for us through the fact that Shalom is reigning. He doesn't call him Jehoahaz here in Jeremiah. He calls him Shalom, so that it identifies with the fact that that name identifies with 13 individuals altogether, and that name is found 27 times. And isn't it interesting? How long did Shalom reign? 3 months. He reigned 3 months, another three. Isn't it? You remember when a long, long time ago we went through the crucifixion of Christ, and we saw that there were more than about 15 times when the number 3 was underscored. 3 crosses, 3 times Peter denied Christ, 3 times Jesus prayed, Abba Father, is it possible that this cup might be removed from me? 3 apostles in the garden with him, and so on. But there's about 15 threes that are that are shown there to emphasize through all of that that language of the crucifixion of Christ, this is God's purpose. This is God's purpose. This is all being done with very, very great purpose on behalf of God. And here I see in Shalom where God is doing the same thing. He is using that name Shalom and putting it in here in this very curious way to underscore what you're reading about, the end of the church age, because the reign of Shalom coincided with the beginning of the reign of the church age, is God's purpose. Oh, let me emphasize this. Here's Josiah. He reigned until the year 609 BC. The kingdom was doing fine. He was the greatest king to that date in really being faithful to the word of God. And then at the age of 39, God took him out just like that. Interestingly enough, 39. What is that a product of? 3 times 13. Purpose 13. Shalom is made king, who is not the one that ought to have been made king, because the firstborn should have ascended the throne, who was Jehoiakim, but the people made Shalom king, and he only reigned 3 months. So in Shalom we see the number 13, in the death of Josiah we see the number 13, and that year 609 BC is the point when the 70-year tribulation of the Old Testament of the nation of Judah did begin. It was the you will have tribulation 70 years during which the world will enjoy its Sabbaths. Remember, we saw in the closing verses of 2 Chronicles, and it coincides with what date in our time, as if that is a pattern of our time. Coincides with the year 1988, which was the 13,000th anniversary of the history of the world. Isn't that curious? Could be coincidental. Yeah, of course it could be. Anything can be coincidental. But God didn't write the Bible that way. Everything has purpose. Everything ties in. Everything fits together. And so here we see Josiah, 39 years of age, taken out of a battle that he should never have gotten into, right at the height of his glory and of his power and everything else, and bang, we have the beginning of the pattern that God has established of our period of great tribulation. That 70-year period began in the year 609 BC, and right at the beginning, Josiah, 3 times 13 years of age, Shalom, named. There are 13 individuals in the Bible with the name of Shalom. He reigned 3 months and so on, all establishing or all tying in with and showing that this is God's purpose. At this time, we have to discontinue our study right at this moment when we are right in the middle of a thought here, but next time we will continue and trust that we'll be able to pick up this thought and further develop it.